الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فيقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى وغفر الله لنا وله وللمسلمين أجمعين، قال: ثم يعدون التوله والتوله والتجانن وقلة العقل والخروج عن العقل والدين قربة وطاعة، ويوهمون الجهال والأغمار من الأعراب والأتراك والفلاحين والنسوان أن هؤلاء صفوة الله تعالى، وأن هؤلاء قد ورد عليهم من الأحوال ما جعلهم هكذا، فيتصرفون في النفوس والأموال تصرف اللص الخادع والمنافق المخادع، موهمين حصول البركة لمن أفسد عليه دينه ودنياه، كما يفعل الرهبان والقسيسون بعوام النصارى، وهذا شيء لم يبعث الله به نبيا ولا قاله رجل صالح قط. ومن كان من الناس قد ذهب عقله حتى صار مجنونا فقد رفع القلم عنه، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رفع القلم عن الصبي حتى يبلغ، وعن النائم حتى يستيقظ، وعن المجنون حتى يفيق. وينبغي أن يعالج هذا بما يعالج به المجانين، فإن الجنون مرض من الأمراض أو عارض من الجن، ومن هؤلاء قوم لهم قلوب فيها تأله وإنابة إلى الله تعالى ومحبة له وإعراض عن الحياة الدنيا، قد يسمون عقلاء المجانين، وقد يسمون المولهين، فهم كما قال فيهم بعض العلماء: قوم أعطاهم الله عقولا وأحوالا فسلب عقولهم وأبقى أحوالهم فأسقط ما فرض بما سلم. فالمجانين كالعقلاء فيهم. نعم، الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى يبين أيضا فساد ما عليه هؤلاء الذين يدعون الولاية، أنهم يفعلون أفعال المجانين، ومن رآهم فإنه يعلم ذلك، ويظنون أن هذه هي الولاية، فتجدهم يرقصون أو يضربون أنفسهم أو يفعلون أفعال إذا رأيتهم قلت الحمد لله الذي عافانا مما ابتلاهم به، وربما كما قال شيخ الإسلام تيمية: يعني لو سمعتهم من وراء حائط تظنهم كلاب تنبح، هكذا قال، تظنهم كلاب تنبح. والشافعي رحمه الله تعالى يقول: لو أن رجلا تصوف في أول النهار لا يأتي الظهر حتى يصير مجنونا أو أحمق. لو تصوف أول النهار ما يأتي الظهر إلا وهو مجنون، لأنهم دينهم مبني على الخرافة وعلى إهانة النفس وعلى أفعال ما يفعلها المجانين. المجنون إذا رأى لعله يرجع له عقله ويقول الحمد لله الذي عافاني. وكما قيل: الجنون فنون، الجنون فنون، فهذا منه. نعم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned: and then they consider excessive emotionalism, madness, lack of reason, and deviation from intellect and religion as acts of worship and obedience. They deceive the ignorant and naive among the Bedouins and the Turks and the peasants and women by claiming that these individuals are the chosen ones of Allah and that they have experienced spiritual states which have made them this way. They manipulate people's lives and wealth in the manner of cunning thieves and deceptive hypocrites, falsely claiming that blessings will come to those whose religion and worldly affairs they have corrupted. This is akin to what monks and priests do with the common folk among the Christians. There is nothing that Allah did. This is something that Allah did not send a prophet with, nor did a righteous man ever say it. And whosoever has lost his mind until he has become insane, then the pin of accountability has been lifted from him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the pin is lifted from a child until he reaches puberty, from a sleeper until he wakes up, and from a madman until he comes to his senses. This should be treated in the same way as people with madness are treated, for madness is either a disease or affliction caused by jinn. Among such people are those with hearts filled with devotion and turning to Allah Almighty with love for Him and detachment from the worldly life. They may be referred to as the wise madmen or the enraptured. As some scholars have described them, a people whom Allah had granted intellect and states of being, then took away their intellect while leaving their states. Thus He absolved them of obligations by what He took away. The Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, that the author is clarifying here the ills and the evils of these people who claim to be the best of the creation, or they claim to be the closest and the beloved to Allah. They claim to be the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. In reality, they're crazy. In reality, many of them, they have literally lost their minds, and they do things that a sane person would never do. And if you see them, you'll know that they are madmen, or that they're crazy, or they lost their minds. You find them dancing around and doing other things and making sounds and noises that whenever you see them, the way that they claim to be worshipping and the likes like this, you thank Allah Azza wa Jal for not trying you with that. And like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, if you were to hear these people from behind a wall, meaning you can't see them but you hear them, the way that they're making their dhikr, who, and the likes like this, you'll think they're dogs back there barking. You'll think that they're dogs back there barking. Whenever you see them, they're people. They're people when they're doing their so-called actions of worship and devotion, which is in reality to this great deviation and actions of madness and insanity. And Imam Shafi, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that if a person, he were to follow the ways of the Sufi in the morning, in the first part of the day, then by dhuhr he'll be a madman. By dhuhr he will have lost his mind and become crazy. And this is because their religion is based upon folklore and lies, and likewise belittling the soul and the likes like this. And craziness or madness is many different aspects. This is just one of them.
ولذلك الصوفية دائما يذكرون بأنها ارتفعت عنهم التكاليف. وشيخ الإسلام دائما يقول نعم ارتفعت عنكم لأنكم مجانين. رفعت عنكم التكاليف لأنكم مجانين. والمجنون مرفوع عنه القلم.
And the Sufia, they always claim that the responsibility has been lifted from them. And they claim, the heads of them, they claim they reach a level where responsibility or accountability or the obligation of doing the rites of the religion are lifted from them. And Shaykh al-Islam, he would say, yes, that's right. Responsibility or accountability is lifted from you because you have lost your minds.
جاء رجل إلى شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله قال له إني أرى أنه لو كان علي جنابة ودخلت نهرا من أوله إلى آخره أو دخلت من أوله وخرجت من آخره ما ارتفعت عني الجنابة. فقال ما ترتفع عنك لأنك مجنون.
And a man, he came to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said to him, I think that, or I believe that if I was upon a state of janaba, any sexual impurity, even if I were to enter into the river and walk to the end of it, I would not come, it would not be lifted. And Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, that's right, it will not be lifted because you are insane.
قال وينبغي نعم قال وينبغي أن يعالج هذا بما يعالج به المجانين. يعني ينظر إليهم بأنهم أنهم يعني يحتاجون إلى علاج وليس أن ينظر إليهم بأنهم مثالا يحتذى بهم بل هو مريض. وهنا يا إخوة مسألة مهمة وهي إذا نظرت إلى أهل الأهواء فلا تنسى أن تقول الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلاهم به لأن أعظم بلاء الأهواء كما كان بعض السلف يقول لا أدري أيهما أعظم نعمة أن هداني الله للإسلام أو أنه لم يمكن لهذه الأهواء من قلبي.
And on the statement of the author, rahimahullah, he mentioned this should be treated in the same way as the people with madness are treated. I mean, the people who have lost their minds and are literally insane, they're treated with a particular treatment. So these people, they should be treated in the same manner. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, that this is an indication that these people, they need treatment. These people, they need treatment. So we look at them like people who are sick and they're ill and they need treatment. We don't look at them like people who are role models and we should follow them and take them as examples and the likes like this. Rather, these individuals, they're sick. And whenever we see the people of desires, one thing that's very important we should not forget, and whenever we see the deviant, misguided people who follow their desires and the likes like this, We should not forget to praise and thank Allah. To praise and thank Allah for not trying us with the likes of what they have been tried with. Like some of the salaf, they would say, I don't know which blessing is greater. I don't know which blessing is greater, that Allah guided me to Islam or that Allah did not allow these desires to enter my heart. So the worst of all trials is the trials of desires and whims in the religion.
وانظر إلى قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تتجارى بهم الأهواء.
And look to the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he mentions about the people of desires, that their desires are flowing with them, يعني moving them.
ووصف صلى الله عليه وسلم الخوارج بأنهم كلاب النار.
And he described the Khawarij that they're the dogs of the hellfire.
وذلك لأنهم في الدنيا يكونون كالكلب ينبح على أهل الإيمان وكذلك يصيب صاحبه بالأذى لا سيما إذا كان فيه داء الكلب كما جاء في الروايات وداء الكلب يصيب الكلب عطشا شديدا وليس له دواء إلا أن يقتل ليس له دواء إلا أن يقتل هذا الكلب ويعض نفسه ويعض أي شخص يكون أمامه وإذا عض شخص انتقل الداء وهكذا الخوارج يسعون إلى عض غيرهم ونقل هذا الداء لغيرهم ويسعون إلى إهلاك أنفسهم وإهلاك الناس كما وصفهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the Khawarij as the dogs at the hellfire, and this is because in this life they're like dogs. In this life they're like dogs barking at the people of faith, and biting at them and harming them and the likes like this. But the people of Iman, the sincere believers, they're like barking at them and harming them all the time. And in some wordings likewise, it's mentioned about that they have in them al-kadib, which is rabies, and it's a disease that whenever the dog gets it, it becomes very thirsty, and he loses his mind, and there's no cure for this disease except that the dog will be killed. So the dog likewise, it has his disease al-kadib. Whenever he bites a person, then that disease it goes to that person. It's contagious. So if he bites the person, the disease will go to that person. The person will catch that disease, and so on and so forth. So the Khawarij, they're like that. They have a disease and they have an illness, and they're destroying their self. They're harming their self. And the dog, likewise, that has that disease, he'll start biting his own self, biting and chewing at his own self, like a madman, and the likes like this. And also, he'll harm others. And the disease, it is contagious. It goes to whomever he bites, they catch it from him. So likewise, the Khawarij, they're very similar. They're dogs like that. They are harming themselves and hastening to harm themselves, and likewise to spread the disease that they have and to affect others, everyone they come in contact with, and to destroy the people likewise. So they're like dogs of the hellfire.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى قال فالمجانين كالعقلاء فيهم من فيه صلاح وفيهم من لا صلاح له وسبب جنون أحدهم إما وارد ورد عليه من المحبة أو المخافة أو الحزن أو الفرح حتى انحرف مزاجه أو خلط غلب عليه من السوداء أو قرين قرن به من الجن أحوال هؤلاء الصوفية إما أنها تكون بسبب الغلو في الدين الغلو في المحبة الغلو في الخوف الغلو في الرجاء فتجد انحراف في ذلك ويعتقدون بأن هذه أحوال تدل على الإيمان تدل على الإيمان مثلا ما جاء عن بعضهم أنه يقول أنا يا ربي لا أعبدك خوفا منك ولا طمعا في جنتك وإنما أعبدك محبة ويظن أن هذا هو التوحيد لأنه إذا خاف من النار وعقوبة الله قد أشرك أدخلت عليهم الشياطين هذه الأفكار الضالة وأضلهم في أصل التوحيد فصرفوا العبادة لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى وظن كذلك بعضهم أن سقوطهم خشية وبكاءهم الشديد الذي يتسبب في الإضرار بهم أن هذا من القرب إلى الله، والله غني عن تعذيبه نفسه. وهذه الأحوال ما حدثت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا الصحابة الكرام رضي الله عنهم، وهؤلاء يطلبونها. وقد تحصل لبعض السلف خوفا، ولكن لا يمدح بذلك، لأن هذا فيه تغليب جانب على جانب، وإنما يطرأ عليه بدون إرادة. وفرق بين المشقة التي تطلب والمشقة التي تحدث. المشقة التي تطلب لا يجوز، لا يجوز إنسان يطلب المشقة ويشق على نفسه، ولكن إذا حدثت المشقة بدون إرادة فإنه يؤجر. والعبادة في المشقة إذا حصلت دون طلب، المشقة الزائدة عن العبادة، المشقة الزائدة عن العبادة. وهذا دائما ينبه شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله أن الأصل أن العبادة يؤتى بها كما هي، ولا وأنه يسلك الطريق الذي كان يعني على أسهل الطرق لإقامة العبادة، ولا يسلك الطريق الشاق ويشق على نفسه ويريد بذلك كثرة الأجر، فإن هذه النفوس تنفر عن العبادة بسبب ذلك. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليقم أحدكم ما استطاع فإن غلبته عيناه فلينم. نعم.
He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, madmen, so these madmen, like the wise, include those who are righteous and those who are not. The cause of one of their madness might be either an overwhelming state of love, fear, sorrow, or joy that disrupted their temperament, an excess of black bile overpowering them, or a companion from the jinn who became attached to them. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhahullah ta'ala, that these people here, these extreme Sufiya, they have these different circumstances that they find themselves in, and that they go through, and claiming that it's worship and the likes like this, doing these repulsive things. And the reason for this is either because they go to extremes in their religion, and they go to extremes with regards to love, or with regards to fear, or with regards to hope, and then this carries them to deviate, to go away, and the extreme love, or extreme hope, or extreme fear, and the likes like this, causing them to lose their mind, or to go crazy, and to do all these actions like that which is mentioned. And they believe that doing these things here, having great fear or grief or sorrow, to a manner that they lose their minds, or they black out, or they go unconscious, and the likes like this, they believe that this is a proof for their strong faith. They believe that this is a proof for their strong faith. Like one of them, he will say, "Oh Allah, oh my Lord, I don't worship you because I hope for your Jannah, and I don't worship you because I fear your fire, but I only worship you because I love you. But I only worship you because I love you." So he thinks that this is tawheed. He thinks that this is tawheed, but he's deviated in a great manner. They think that hoping for the Jannah is actually shirk, is making a partner with Allah, or fearing the fire is actually making a partner with Allah. So they have been deviated away from the fundamentals of a tawheed. Or they do things like excessive crying, to the amount that one of them will pass out. They believe that if he cries and cries until this extreme state of madness, or until he passes out, and the likes like this, is all a means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that they go to great extremes in the actions of worship until they can't carry themselves anymore. They can't hold it anymore. They lose their minds, or they lose their state of being. They lose their manners and their likes like this. And all of this is... And some of them, they said that humbleness is lying, is crying.
فإذا الصلاة ما فيها بكاء ما فيها خشوع.
So if you pray without crying, then you have no خشوع, humbleness in your prayer. This is falsehood. So some of the salaf, this has been mentioned, reported from a few of the salaf, that maybe something would happen to them, and they would fear Allah to the extent maybe one of them would pass out. But this was not common or known, and it's not something that's praised in itself. It's not something that's praised in itself. And this is something that was not intended. They're not looking for it, or they're not working for it, they're not striving for it, they're not trying to do this until they pass out, or showing this and the likes like this. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the actions of worship they should be performed in the proper manner, in the easiest way, not making it hard, not making it excessively hard. So there's a difference between a hardship that comes in the worship, or in a person's circumstances that he's not looking for, and then it happens, so he faces it, and somebody who makes the situation hard for him. The person who makes the situation hard for him. There's a difference between the two. Somebody who finds himself in a situation that's more difficult than normal in actions of worship or in the likes like this, or in actions of obedience, but he's not looking for that. And then if he does that, he'll have a great reward. But as for the one who makes it hard on himself without need, then thinking that he's going to have a greater reward, this is not correct. This is not proper. This is not correct. This is not proper. So the origin is that the ibadah should be done in the easiest manner, in the easiest way, and properly, but without any extra hardship, without any extra hardship. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that for the night prayer, if you pray, if you are awake, but if you feel sleepy, then you go to sleep. You don't continue to worship even whenever you're passing out or extremely tired.
ولذلك شيخ الإسلام دائما ينبه على أن أفضل الأحوال هي أحوال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Shaykh al-Islam رحمه الله, he always draws the attention to that the best circumstances, يعني in worship and servitude and devotion is that of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وهنا يا إخوة ننتبه عند قراءة بعض سير السلف.
So here we have to pay attention whenever we read some of the biographies of the pious.
لا سيما أن هناك بعض القصص التي لا نعرف ثبوتها ولكنها مخالفة لهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Especially since there are some stories that we're not even certain about the authenticity of those stories, and they are in opposition to the ways of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يعني مثلا من القصص أنه يذكر عن بعض الصالحين أنه أخبر بموت ولده أو حدوث يعني مصيبة على ولده قال فتبسم.
Like what has been mentioned from one of the salaf that he was informed of the death of one of his children, so he smiled.
وأن هذا هو الرضا.
And that this is when being pleased with Allah's decree.
رضا بأقدار الله عز وجل.
Being pleased with the decrees of Allah عز وجل.
وهذا ليس هو الرضا.
And this is not being pleased, showing pleasure with the decree of Allah.
لأن حال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه بكى.
Because the circumstance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the likes of this situation is that he cried.
عند فقد ولده إبراهيم.
Whenever he lost his child Ibrahim.
حتى قال له أحد الصحابة يا رسول الله تبكي قال إنها رحمة.
Until even one of the companions that said to him, O Messenger of Allah, you're going to cry, he said, it's mercy.
إذن الرضا ألا تجزع.
So then to be pleased with the decree of Allah
لا بقول ولا بفعل.
Is that you do not become anxious or upset or mad or angry.
وتسترجع.
And that you say, إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
وليس أن تتبسم وتضحك و
Not that you smile and you laugh and you're happy.
لأن العلماء يقولون الضحك
The scholars, they say they're laughing.
في وقت الحزن ليس في مكانه.
They say the laughing whenever it's time to be sad, when it's place of sadness, this is not the proper place.
والبكاء في أيضا في مكان الابتسامة والضحك ليس في مكانه.
And crying and weeping in the place of laughing and joy is not in the proper place likewise.
فإذا لابد من معرفة أن هذه الأحوال لابد أن توزن بميزان الشرع.
So these circumstances, situations, and these biographies and the likes, they have to be scaled up with the scale of the legislation.
وابن الجوزي رحمه الله تعالى في تلبيس إبليس.
Ibn Jawzi رحمه الله in his book Deception of the Devil.
في تلبيس إبليس على العباد.
Whenever he is deceiving the devout worshippers.
وهذا سيأتي أيضا تنبيه عليه أنه بغض إليهم بعض العبادات وزهدهم منها.
That he caused some of the actions of worship to be detestable to them and turned them away from it.
بحجة الخوف من الله.
With the claim that this is from fearing Allah.
وبحجة محبة الله.
With the claims that they love Allah.
وهي عبادات عظيمة.
And their great actions.
فعلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And their great actions of worship that the Prophet performed, صلى الله عليه وسلم.
من ذلك رفع البصر إلى السماء.
Like that, raising the eyes to the heavens.
والتفكر. في آلاء الله.
And pondering and reflecting over the blessings of Allah.
كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كثيرا ما ينظر إلى السماء.
Many times the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم looked to the skies.
وهم عدوا ذلك ليس من الأدب مع الله عز وجل.
And these people, they consider that to be bad manners with Allah عز وجل.
وهذا مثل بعض الذين ينهمكون في آداب غير شرعية.
And this is like those who delve in head first in the manners and etiquettes that are not legislative.
فيجعل مثلا السواك بحضرة الناس ليس من الأدب.
So they consider using the siwak in front of people is not from good manners.
وهذا ليس من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل كان يستاك بحضرة أصحابه.
That's not the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rather, he would use the miswak in front of his companions.
وبوب البخاري رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب الأدب المفرد بابا في ذلك.
And Imam Bukhari in his book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, he wrote a chapter title with this.
ليرد عليهم قال باب استياك الإمام بحضرة أصحابه.
To refute those who claim this, and he said, chapter the fact that the Imam who will use the miswak in front of his companions.
ويعني ذكر بأن سبب تأليف الإمام البخاري رحمه الله لكتابه الأدب المفرد ليرد على الآداب المخترعة من الصوفية ويبين أن أفضل الآداب هي آداب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And it's been mentioned that from the wisdom or the reasons carrying Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah to author this book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it's all about manners, is in order to refute, as a refutation of the manners, the Sufiya they claim, any that they claim are from the good or manners or the manners you should follow.
ولعلي قد ذكرت لكم مرارا بعض الإخوة الذين سمعوا مني أن مرة شيخنا الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله تعالى سئل بأن يقرأ عليه.
And maybe you maybe remember some brothers who have said with the Sheikh before that one time that he was with Sheikh Rabi' and then somebody asked to read on him.
فقال أحدهم نريد أن نقرأ كتابا في الآداب.
They said, one of them said, we want to read a book to you about manners.
فذكروا له كتابا.
So he mentioned to him a book.
وهذا الكتاب معروف بين بعض طلاب العلم في الآداب.
And the book is known amongst some of the students of knowledge about manners.
فقال الشيخ اتركونا من هذه الكتب الآداب المصطنعة التي لا دليل عليها.
Leave us from these books here with these manners that are made up that have no evidence for them.
وهاتوا آداب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لنتعلمها.
And bring the etiquettes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم so we can learn them.
لأن هذه الآداب التي تسمى بآداب طالب العلم.
Because these manners, some of them that are considered the manners of students of knowledge.
وهي ليس عليها دليل.
And they have no evidence for them.
تربي طلاب العلم على قبول الباطل من مشايخهم.
They cultivate the students of knowledge to accept falsehood from their teachers.
وأن هذا من الآداب. مع مشايخهم.
And they considered that this is from the manners with their teachers.
واستخدم الشيخ كلمة الخنوع.
And the
شيخ تجعل طالب العلم خانع ذليل.
And they
لا يستطيع أن يبين الحق ولا أن يعني أن يحاور شيخه أو يبين له أن هذا الكلام خطأ بأسلوب طيب.
يعني they belittle the students and make them think that they're not able to ever ask a question or to clarify the truth, that their sheikh is always right and you have to surrender to him and submit to him and accept everything he says and you can never question him.
وهذا كما أسلفنا من كلام شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب الأصول الستة.
Like what we have mentioned previously in the book of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله, the six principles.
أنهم وضعوا شروطا للمجتهدين في العلم قد لا توجد في أبي بكر ولا عمر رضي الله عنهم.
They put conditions for the scholar to be considered mujtahid in the knowledge that maybe Abu Bakr and Umar didn't have the same conditions.
طالب العلم يتحلى بالآداب.
The student of knowledge, he'll bear on the beautiful manners.
نحن لسنا أعداء الآداب.
We're not enemies of
manners. ديننا كله آداب.
لا, the religion in its entirety is manners.
ولكن الآداب غير الشرعية لا خير فيها.
But the manners that are not legislative, there's no good in them.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى فهؤلاء نعم وذكر أيضا أن بعضهم قد يلبسه الجن.
He mentioned some of them that even could be touched by jinn.
ويظن أن هذه الأحوال يدل على أنها تحدث له من الله عز وجل لأنه يحبها منه. وهي مما خالطه من الشياطين والجن.
And they think about him that this is something from Allah, that Allah gifted him with these righteous states and the likes like this, but in reality he's touched by a jinn. It's a jinn who's overcome him.
وشيخ الإسلام تيمي رحمه الله ذكر قصة عن عبد القادر الجيلاني رحمه الله في التوسل والوسيلة.
And Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he mentioned a story about Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani in his book, At-Tawassul wal-Wasila.
ذكر هذه القصة في كتاب شيخ الإسلام, ذكر في كتابه التوسل والوسيلة بأن عبد القادر الجيلاني وهو إمام من أئمة السنة وعالم من علماء أهل السنة وعابد من عباد أهل السنة.
He mentioned it in this work, Tawassul Wasila, about Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and he's from the scholars of the Sunnah, and from those devout, sincere worshippers, from those from the people of the Sunnah.
وله بعض الكتب في عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة.
And he has books clarifying the creed of أهل السنة والجماعة.
يقول أنه كان يصلي في الليل.
It's mentioned that he's praying at night time.
فجاء له نور في ناحية الغرفة.
And then
بدأ له نور.
In the corner of his room, some light came to him, appeared to him.
فقال له يا عبد القادر الجيلاني قد أحللت لك ما حرمت على غيرك. أنا ربك قد حللت لك ما حرمت على غيرك.
So a voice came from the light in the corner of his room and said, "Oh, عبد القادر الجيلاني, I have allowed for you what I have forbidden for you. I'm your Lord. I have made permissible what I have made forbidden."
حللت لك ما حرمت على غيرك.
I made permissible for you what I made forbidden for others.
فقال عبد القادر الجيلاني اخسأ أنت الشيطان الرجيم.
So he said to him, may you be disgraced, you're the cursed devil.
فتبدد هذا النور.
So the nur went away, the light went away.
فقال كيف عرفت؟
So he said, how did you know?
قال إن الله ما أحل لنبيه ما حرم على غيره. So because هكذا بهذا الإطلاق.
Because Allah, he did not make permissible for a prophet that he made impermissible for others. I mean, in this absolute
أفضل الخلق.
Sense. And he's the best of the people.
فقال ذلك يعني من ذلك أو ذلك الشيطان قال أنجاك علمك يا عبد القادر الجيلاني.
Then he mentioned that it was said to him that now your knowledge has come.
فتنة عظيمة.
Your knowledge has saved you.
نعم فتنة عظيمة يا إخوة.
Great trials, brothers.
أن الإنسان ينظر إلى أحوال تقع له فيعتقد أنها كرامة. وهو على غير هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Great trials and tribulations for some people. They see circumstances or amazing things happen to him, but he's not on the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وهذه من أسباب إيمان بعض الناس وتصديق بعض الناس للدجال.
And this is from the reasons that some people they'll believe in the Dajjal.
وهو يأتي بخوارق.
And he would bring great miracles.
وهو أكثر الناس.
And he's the greatest disbeliever ever.
والرجل والشاب الذي يقطع نصفين
and the young man who's going to be cut in half by
والذي
him,
يحييه الله عز وجل
and the one whom Allah will bring him back to life
فإنه لا يفتن بإذن الله
this one he's not tried بإذن الله
لأنه ينجيه علمه بعد الله عز وجل
because after the grace of Allah upon him his knowledge will save him
يقول فيقول له أتؤمن بي قال ما ازددت فيك إلا بصيرة
he said whenever he bring him back to life he said do you believe in me now he said I didn't increase in anything except for insight about you
أنت الأعور الدجال الذي حدثنا عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
you're the one-eyed devil that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم informed us about so he's saved by knowledge
فهذه الأحوال الشيطانية قد تأتي يأتي الشيطان لبعض طلاب العلم وكذا فإذا به يحصل صوت أو كلام أو شيء فيغره ذلك ويظن أن هذا شيء من الله عز وجل إكرام له وهذا يكون من الشيطان
these satanic circumstances situations they may occur or appear for some people for example for a student of knowledge or the likes maybe he'll hear a sound and he will think that it's a miracle or some amazing event but in reality it's the devil It's the devil.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى فهؤلاء إذا صح أنهم مجانين ومولهون كانوا في قسم المعذورين التوله المقصود هنا شدة قيل التوله هو شدة الحزن المذهب للعقل
The word that's being used here التوله is saying that
لذلك يقال فلان والهان
so and so is, you know, it's a type of sadness and grief that overcomes a person.
ومثله أيضا العاشق.
Loses mind. Likewise, a lover.
يعشق حتى يذهب عقله.
He will love. He'll fall in love so much until he loses his mind.
قال فهؤلاء إذا صح أنهم مجانين ومولهون كانوا في قسم المعذورين يعني المجانين. قال الممنوع على الفساد يعني يكف شرهم عن الناس ويقال هؤلاء مجانين ويبعدون. قال ولا يحل الاقتداء بمن فيه منهم صلاح يعني حتى لو كان صالح في نفسه فإن أفعالهم هذه ليست صالحة يكون عنده انحراف. وهنا كأنه ينبه عن بعض أحوال أو بعض أحوال يعني أهل العلم أو السلف التي نقلت في كتب السير وهي ليس فيها اتباع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، إما لأنه حصل له بدون إرادة. يعني بعضهم يذكر أن عمر رضي الله عنه يعني سمع آية فمرض وعاده الناس، تعرفون هذه القصة، وهذه منهم من يطعن في سندها، ولكن العلماء ذكروا بأن هذا الأمر ما حصل لمن هو أعلم منه وللنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيكون هذا شيء طرأ عليه بدون إرادة ما استطاع دفعه، كما قالت أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها يا رسول الله يعني لو أمرت غير أبي بكر فإنه رجل أسيف إذا قرأ لا يستطيع الناس أن يسمعوا يعني قراءته من كثرة بكائه، شيء يهجم عليه لا إرادة له، ليس أنه يرى أن هذا أكمل الحالات وأفضل الحالات، هذا شيء يطرأ عليه ما يستطيع دفعه. فكأنه يقول هنا لا يحل الاقتداء بمن فيه منهم صلاح. لماذا؟ لأن أكمل الأوصاف والأحوال هي أحوال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، والذي قال الله عز وجل لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. ولذلك أنكر ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما على أحد الصحابة لما مس جميع أركان الكعبة وقال ليس فيها شيء مهجور، قال ولكن الله قد قال لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. نعم.
Here Sheikh al-Islam, he says, رحمه الله, if it is true that such individuals are mad or enraptured, they fall under the category of those who are excused and protected from corruption. Any meaning that the people will tell them, watch out from these individuals, here they're mad, don't come near them. It is not permissible to emulate those among them who are righteous, nor to follow what they say or do unless it aligns with the teachings of the Sharia. So the Shaykh mentioned Hafidhullah Ta'ala that the author Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he's drawing the attention here to what has been narrated, like was mentioned previously, about some circumstances or stories that has happened with the people of knowledge that's not in accordance to the Sunnah, that's not in accordance to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like mentioning before that one of them would hear the Quran and then become very affected by that till they would pass out, so on and so forth. This didn't happen in the Sunnah. So if you see this happening from someone who is righteous, from the people of the Sunnah, then this is either happening without his intent. This is happening and he's not looking for that. He's not searching for that. This is a circumstance that overcame him and he was truly affected in this manner and he couldn't hold himself. So there's an excuse for him. He's not looking for it. Like has been mentioned from Umar radiallahu anhu that he heard a verse from the Quran and then he became sick. And after that, people visit him for some time. Some of the people of knowledge, they try to mention this chain is not authentic and the likes like this. But Allah knows best. In any case, the one who's better than Umar radiallahu anhu, he never heard a verse and became sick. He never heard a verse.
ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما لما قيل له أتخالف أباك في مسألة مسائل قال ما يضرني أن أخالف أبي وأوافق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Even it's been mentioned from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, and one time whenever he differed with his father Umar, and they took him up about that, and he said, what's it going to harm me if I differ with my father as long as I'm in accordance with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وعمر رضي الله عنه, ما أدري أن أقطعك, لكن عمر رضي الله عنه أنكر على ابنه تتبع آثار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, حتى إنه كان يبول في المكان الذي يبول فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ويفعل بعض الأمور التي ما كان يعني الصحابة يفعله، فأنكر عمر رضي الله عنه على ولده ذلك.
And Umar, he reprimanded Abdullah, his son Abdullah, a number of times whenever he would follow up the traces of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like for example, he would go and pass urine in the same places that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed urine at. He would go to these specific places that he remembers seeing the Prophet at, and the likes like this. And Umar, he did not allow that. He reprimanded him and stopped him from doing that. Stopped him from doing that. So again, these circumstances sometimes with the righteous, maybe they will occur. For example, whenever it's mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered Aisha to tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer. Then she would try to make an excuse for him. She would say about her father that he's somebody who's always crying. If he leads the prayer, he'll start crying and the people can't hear him. If he leads the prayer, he'll start crying and he'll start weeping and the likes like this and the people can't hear him. So this is something that that overcame him, that it would overcome him. He would recite the Quran, radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, and then it would overcome him and he wouldn't be able to hold himself. And meaning he's not looking for this, he's not intending to start crying, but he would be affected literally until he can't hold himself. So he's not trying to do that, and he's not believing that this is the way that has to go, that this is the best way, but rather he is overcome like this. So in any case, drawing attention here, that the role model is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The example and the scale in these affairs is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, he mentioned to the one who touched all four corners of the Kaaba, and he's claiming, "Oh, there's no portion of the Kaaba that we're going to leave off. We're going to touch all four corners." And Ibn Abbas, he told him, "But indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best role model." So not to be deceived, even if somebody is truly from the people of the Sunnah, if they do something that's contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's an excuse for them in the likes of this situation, but they're not followed in that.
الأقرع بن حابس رضي الله عنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل الحسن الحسين.
الأقرع بن حابس رضي الله عنه, he seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kissing الحسن الحسين.
فقال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتقبلون أبناءكم؟
He said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, do you kiss your children?
قال إن لي عشرة من الأبناء ما قبلت أحدا منهم.
He said I have ten children. I never kissed one of them.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما يرحم الله من عباده الرحماء.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told him that it is only the merciful that Allah He shows mercy to.
إذن أكمل الصفات والأحوال أحوال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في التعامل مع الأطفال.
So the best description and circumstance that one can deal with the children is that one can deal with the children with is that of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
بعض الناس قد يكون يقول هذه تذهب هيبة.
Some people say, oh, this may remove the honor and reputation of the person and the fear he instills in his family or the honor
مثل الهيبة المصطنعة.
Like, you know, his
عند بعض طلاب العلم.
His the هيبة, you know, this reverence that they fabricated, this made up reverence that's not even true. They try to make themselves appear to have.
أنه
like
مثلا
some students of knowledge, they do that.
أيوة. يعني عدم التبسم. لبعض الناس.
Not smiling at some people.
عدم خدمة الآخرين هو يخدم.
Not helping or serving others. No, you have to serve him because of his status and his reverence and the likes like this.
كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا نزل مع أصحابه يكون في خدمتهم ويجمع الحطب معهم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he would come down in his journeys with his Prophet, he would serve them, he would help them, and he would gather the wood along with them.
نعم. فننتبه لهذا المزلق الخطير.
So pay attention to this great point, the place of deviation.
بحجة التقرب إلى الله عز وجل وهو في الحقيقة ليس من أفعال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وليس من أفعال الأنبياء من قبله.
With claims to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him, and this is not from the ways of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يعني الله عز وجل ذكر لنا في القرآن الكريم أن موسى عليه السلام وهو كليم الله ومن أولو العزم من الرسل أنه اشتغل وعمل.
It's mentioned in the book of Allah عز وجل that Musa, and he is the one whom Allah spoke to directly عليه الصلاة والسلام, and we all know his status and rank, and it's mentioned that he worked to make a living.
قد يكون عالم أو يكون نبي ويشتغل, وما من نبي إلا ورعى الغنم.
Maybe he's a scholar or maybe he's a prophet and he works. There's no prophet except he was a shepherd working.
وهذا لا يذهب هيبة العلم.
This doesn't remove, do away with the reverence or the the knowledge brings a person.
الذي يذهب هيبة العلم فعل الأمر الذي لا يجوز.
That which removes the haybah of knowledge and in this reverence that comes along with knowledge and respect is doing things that's not permissible.
كما قال الله عز وجل ومن يهن الله فما له من مكرم.
Like Allah, He says, and whomever Allah belittles, then no one can honor Him.
ثم قال ولا يحل الاقتداء بمن فيه منهم صلاح ولا اتباع ما يقول من الأقوال والأفعال إلا أن يوافق الشريعة. هذا الميزان.
It is not permissible to emulate those among them who are righteous, nor to follow what they say or do unless it aligns with the teaching of the Sharia. So this is the scale here.
قال ولا ينبغي تعظيمهم فإنهم منقوصون. يعني المقصود هنا هؤلاء أهل التصوف مجروحون وصالح العقلاء أفضل منهم بكثير كثير. ولو ادعوا أنهم علماء العوام من أهل السنة أفضل من علمائهم وأفضل من عبادهم.
Then he mentioned they should not be revered as they are deficient and flawed. And this is in reference to those madmen from the Sufiyya. And the righteous among the sane are far superior to them by a great margin. And he meaning the laymen who are upright from the laymen from the people of the Sunnah are way better and more pious and righteous than these so-called righteous Sufis.
قال وليس فيهم ولي ولا صالح مشهور.
And among them there's neither a saint, a wali, nor any well-known righteous individual.
وإنما يغتر بهم بعض الجهال.
It is only that some of the ignorant are deceived by them.
كما قال ابن الجوزي رحمه الله تعالى العالم عند الجهال كل من صعد المنبر.
Like Ibn Jawzi, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala that a scholar with ignorant people, everyone who gets on the minbar.
وهناك كتاب مهم جدا وهو ذم القصاصين.
There's an important book. It's called Blaming the Storytellers.
لابن الجوزي رحمه الله.
For by Ibn al-Jawzi رحمه الله.
ذكر ما كان عليه السلف من ذم القصاصين والوعاظ الذين يعظون بغير الكتاب والسنة.
He's mentioned a number of stories from the Salaf whenever they would blame and reprimand the storytellers and those who admonish the people with any contrary to the Quran and Sunnah.
وشيخنا الشيخ صالح فوزان حفظ الله تعالى عند حديث قال الذي قتل 99 نفسا قال دلوني على عالم قال فدلوه على عابد.
And our Sheikh Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, and the narration about the one who killed 99 men, he said, lead me to someone of knowledge. They took him to a worshipper.
قال وفيه دليل على أن كثيرا من الناس لا يعرفون العالم.
And he said, this is an indication here that many people, they don't know who the scholars really are.
ويظنون أن كل عابد عالم.
And they think that every devout worshipper is an actual scholar.
ولذلك انظروا فتنه.
And for this
reason, الناس,
he was tried.
لأنه أفتى بغير علم.
And he was tried, and he tried the people because he gave a verdict without knowledge.
فالجاهل ما يعرف يميز العالم.
So an ignorant person is not able to distinguish the true scholar.
ابن تيمية رحمه الله يقول العالم يعرف الجاهل والجاهل لا يعرف العالم.
Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, رحمه الله, a scholar, he knows the ignorant one, but the ignorant one, he does not know the true scholar.
قال وذلك لأن العالم كان جاهلا.
And that's because the scholar, he used to be ignorant.
والجاهل لم يكن عالما.
And the ignorant person, he never was a scholar.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى وإنما يغتر بهم بعض الجهال لأن جنونهم يوجب أن يظهر بعض ما في بواطنهم من كشف أو زهد أو تأثير فيستعظم الجاهل ذلك. يستعظم الجاهل ذلك لأنه لا يزن ذلك بميزان الشرع. عندهم البكاء دليل على أنه على حق. يقول لك والله فلان وعظنا بكى خلاص متفق عليه. إذا بكى متفق عليه مع أن الله عز وجل أخبرنا في القرآن وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون. والقرطبي رحمه الله يعني يقول هنا قال فإذا رأيت شخصا يبكي فلا تظن أنه على حق فربما كان يبكي وهو على باطل ك كما قال الله عز وجل: وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون. العبرة بالسنة ليس بالدمعة.
He mentioned, Rahimah Allah, that it is only the ignorant who are deceived by them, because their madness may cause some inner qualities such as insight, asceticism, or influence to become apparent, leading the ignorant to overestimate them. And meaning, because the ignorant people, they do not weigh up the circumstances of the people and the likes with the scale of the legislation. Rather, they weigh that up with many times with crying. If somebody gave them an admonition and then he cried, they will say, oh, that's it. This person, he's righteous. This person, he's upright. This person, he's an imam. This person, so on and so forth. Yani mutafiqun alayhi. They agree that this person is of high status just for the fact that he spoke and gave a lecture and then he began crying. So they don't weigh up the situation with knowledge and with the skills of the legislation. And Al-Qurtubi, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, about the brothers of Yusuf, whenever they came to Yaqub alayhi salam crying, and he faking to cry and the likes like this, and that's something that Yusuf, he was eaten by the wolf, so on and so forth. He said, so here there's an evidence that just because somebody's crying, this doesn't mean that he's on the truth. Just because somebody comes crying, it doesn't mean that he's correct or he's right or he's telling the truth and the likes like this. This is not a proof. So the proof is the sunnah. What is considered is the sunnah, not tears.
وهنا يحسن أن ننقل كلام للإمام الأوزاعي رحمه الله. قال: بلغني أن من ابتدع بدعة خلاه الشيطان والعبادة. تركه للعبادة.
Here we have, it's suitable to mention a statement from Al-Awza'i rahimahullah. He said, it has reached me that if a person introduces innovation, then shaitan will decorate him with worship.
And يعني يحبب له العبادة.
He will make worship beloved to him.
قال وألقى عليه الخشوع.
And he will cast on him the خشوع. يعني
والبكاء.
Making him cry and the likes like this, people will see it.
لكي يصطاد به.
In order to use him as a trap.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى وصالح العقلاء قد يكون معه أضعاف ذلك. يعني من الكرامات ومن الخير ولا يحب أن يظهره ولا يظهره إلا حيث يراه مصلحة. ما تجد أنه يمدح نفسه ويذكر ما يحصل له لأنه ما يرى يحقر نفسه. أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها أنزل الله عز وجل في براءتها آيات، فماذا قالت؟ قالت: والله ما كنت أظن أن الله ينزل في شأني وحيا يتلى، ولا شأني في نفسي كان أحقر أن يتكلم الله في أمري. يعني تنظر لنفسها أنها أحقر من حتى يتكلم الله عز وجل فيها ويظهر براءتي، وإنما أردت أن يرى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رؤيا، ورؤيا الأنبياء حق.
So he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the righteous among the sane may possess far greater virtues than these individuals. Yani meaning that the righteous ones, they have many more miracles and amazing affairs that happens in their life because of their truthfulness. Yet they reveal them only when it serves a purpose. And meaning they only will talk about that whenever there's a need to benefit, and sometimes considering them as more beneficial. Meaning that whenever these amazing affairs happen to those who are truly righteous and they're really miracles from Allah Azza wa Jalla for them, then they will not brag about them, and they will not expose themselves. Rather, they will hide them. The origin is that they will hide them, and they do not think that they are rightful for these things, and they do not believe that this is something that they deserve, or because of their high status has happened to them. Rather, they look down on themselves, and they're humble, and they will not speak about them or brag about them. Rather, they'll conceal them. And Aisha radiallahu anha, whenever she was accused, and the story is well known, her innocence was revealed from above the heavens. Her innocence was revealed in verses from above the heavens. And Aisha, she said about herself, radiallahu anha, that I didn't think that Allah is going to reveal verses. And she's thinking that a dream will come. And the likes like this, I didn't think that verses are going to be revealed about me. And in me, in my eyes, I'm much more insignificant than Allah ever revealing verses about me. And so she's looking at herself as if she's insignificant. She's not looking at herself like she's a high status, the wife of the Prophet, so on and so forth, like this. So this is the way of the true righteous.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لعمر رضي الله عنه: يا عمر إن رأيت أو إن أدركت أويس القرني فاطلب منه أن يستغفر لك.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Umar, he said to him radiyallahu anhu, that if you meet Uwais al-Qarani, then you ask him to seek forgiveness for you.
فلما لقيه قال أنت أويس القرني قال بلى.
So whenever he met him, he said, "You're Uwais al-Qarani." He said, "Yes."
قال فقد يعني تعرفون الحديث أو الأثر. فقال له استغفر لي.
So he said to him, "You know the narration." He said to him, "You know, ask Allah to forgive me."
فإني سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كذا.
Because I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying this.
قال فاستغفر له ثم انغمس في الناس فلا يدرى أين ذهب.
And so he sought forgiveness for him, and then he went and hiding in the people, so he's not known who he is.
يخشى على نفسه.
He's afraid of himself. He's afraid for himself.
هل ظهر أمام الناس يقول تعالوا اسمعوا ايش يقول عمر في عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا كلام النبي وخير التابعين. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خير التابعين أويس القرن.
Hiding so that he doesn't become exposed, so that people don't know all these virtues that are mentioned about him. The
يخافون على أنفسهم.
Mentioning that he's the best of the تابعين, and mentioning that, and if you meet him, you should ask him to make du'a for you. So he doesn't want people to know that Umar is saying this about him. He's afraid for himself that he'll be tried in the likes like this. He doesn't want this virtue to be revealed.
والشاب الذي دخل على عمر رضي الله عنه وهو على فراش الموت
and the young man
يثني عليه
who came to Umar رضي الله عنه whenever he's on the deathbed and he's praising him.
فقال وددت لو كان كفافا لا لي ولا علي.
I wish I could just get out safely with no benefit and no harm.
هكذا أهل الصلاح, هكذا أهل السنة.
And they're afraid for themselves. So this is the way of the people of rectification and piety. This is the way of the people of the Sunnah. They're
بل أمرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نحثو في وجوه المداحين التراب.
Whether the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he ordered us to throw dirt in the face of the people who go to extremes in praising others.
وقال ويحك الرجل الذي كان يثني على أخيه في وجهه. قال ويحك قد قطعت عنق أخيك.
And he said to the one who's praising his brother in front of his face, ويحك, you cut the throat of your brother.
لأن هذا باب خطير.
Because this is very dangerous.
تهلك أخاك بالمدح في وجهه.
You destroy him, and you're misleading him by praising him in his face.
الذي ينبغي الدعاء له بالثبات.
What is incumbent is to make dua for him to be firm.
ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يقول عليكم بمن قد مات فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة.
Ibn Mas'ud says رضي الله عنه that you have to follow the way of those who have died because the one who's alive is not safe from trials.
حتى قيل أن الإمام أحمد رحمه الله ويعني وهو على فراش الذي مات عليه أنه كان عبد الله ولده يقول عنده لا إله إلا الله فكان يقول الإمام أحمد ليس بعد ليس بعد.
It's been mentioned about Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala whenever he's in his deathbed likewise and before he died that his son Abdullah was saying to him to say la ilaha illallah to say la ilaha illallah and he's saying laysa ba'd laysa ba'd. Imam Ahmad he's responding not yet not yet.
فلما افاق ساله قال يا ابي انا كنت اقول لا اله الا الله وانت تقول ليس بعد.
Whenever he regained consciousness again, then he asked him, he said, "Oh my father, I was telling you to say La ilaha illallah, and you're saying to me, not yet, not yet."
قال عرض علي الشيطان.
He said, the devil presented to me.
فقال فتني يا أحمد.
He said, the devil,
ما استطعت إغواءك.
The devil appeared to me, and he said, oh, you got away from me. You got away from me, Ahmed. I was not able to deceive you.
فقال ليس بعد ما زالت الروح في الجسد.
He said.
يخشى على نفس الفتنة.
I said not yet, not yet. Meaning the soul is still in his body. He's until this point still afraid of the trials.
لأن العبرة أن تموت.
So the what's
ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون.
What's considered is that you die upon the right path.
خاف على نفسي هذه اللحظات.
Do not die except as Muslims. Do not die except as Muslims. He's afraid for his soul at this very last moment.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى قال فأما هؤلاء المفتلون الشعر ونحوهم يعني هذه الصفات هؤلاء الصوفية المخالفة قد مر معنا المخالفة لهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعامتهم متولهون لا مولهون يظهرون ذلك كذبا ومكرا ومخادعة للجهال يعني أيضا يفتعلون هذه الأشياء ليست أشياء تداهمهم بل هم يفتعلون هذه الأشياء. قال كي يتميزوا بذلك مما يريدونه من النفوس والأموال وحتى لا ينكر عليهم ما يقولونه حتى لا ينكر ينكر عليهم ما يقولونه ويفعلونه من القبيح، فيقول الجاهل هذا موله، يعني هذا هجم عليه هذه الأمور بغير إرادته بغير طلب منه، يعني اعذروهم بهذه الأشياء، وهو الذي يفعل هذا حتى يعني يستطيع أن يبتز أموال الناس وكذلك أن يلعب بنفوس الناس، كل هذا حيل من الشيطان.
So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, as for those who twist their hair and engage in similar acts, most of them are pretenders, not truly enraptured. And this has preceded, these are from the descriptions of those Sufi and the likes like this that are in contradiction to the Sunnah. So here's the clarification that many of them, they're fakers, they're pretenders, they're not even real. They're not even really in that state that they're pretending to be in that state. They display such behavior falsely with deceit and trickery to manipulate the ignorant, seeking to distinguish themselves in order to gain influence over people's minds and wealth. This also serves to prevent criticism of their reprehensible words and actions, as the ignorant might say, "This is just an enraptured person," and meaning that these people many times they're faking, they're pretending, they're acting like this in order to deceive, to trick the people. These are from the tricks of the devil and the misguided and the deviant, making the ignorant think that they are going through these situations and they have a high status and they're close to Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that they can take advantage of them, and so that they can use them, and so that they can manipulate them and take their wealth. So one of them will, the ignorant will make an excuse for them and say, "Oh, this is just an enraptured person. I mean, this is something that just happened to him. He can't help it, and he, because of his piety." But in reality, it's contrary. He is pretending and he is deceiving and making deception in order to take advantage of the people and obtain their wealth.
صاحب الحق لا يجعل الحق سبيل إلى ابتزاز أموال الناس.
A person of truth, he does not make the truth a pathway or a means to obtain the wealth of the people.
ولذلك انظر الأنبياء جميعا. So قل لا نسألكم عليه أجرا.
Look at all of the prophets, all of them. This mention about them, say to them, "I don't ask you for any wages."
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يكرم الناس ويعطي.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to be generous to the people and give them.
وهو أحق أن يخدم ويعطى.
And he has more rightful that he should be served and given.
حتى كان يقول بعضهم اذهبوا إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه يعطي عطاء من لا يخشى الفقر.
Until the extent that some of them said that, "Go to Muhammad, he gives out charity the way he gives out money the way of the one who has no fear of poverty whatsoever."
ليلة الهجرة.
On the night of the migration.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أذن له الله عز وجل أن يهاجر.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever Allah allowed for him to migrate with Abu Bakr.
أبو بكر رضي الله عنه بكى فرحا.
Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, he cried out of joy that he would accompany him.
حتى قالت أمنا عائشة رضي الله عنها, "ما كنت أعلم أن أحدا يبكي فرحا حتى رأيت أبي يبكي فرحا."
Until our mother Aisha رضي الله عنها, she says, "I never thought anyone would cry out of joy until I saw my father crying out of joy."
قال يا رسول الله علي الراحلة.
So he said, "O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, let me take care of the riding animals."
قال بحقها يا أبا بكر, أنا أدفع حقها.
He said, "I'm going to pay for it."
وما رضي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يأخذ منه الراحلة بدون أن يدفع له.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not pleased and to accept that help from Abu Bakr, except that he will pay for it.
ومن علامة أهل الباطل أنهم يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا.
And from the signs of the people of falsehood is that they purchase with by way of the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla a miserable price, a cheap price.
يحب يعيش على أظهر الناس.
They like to live on the backs of the people.
واتخذوا الدين حيلة.
And they take the religion as a trick and a means to obtain their worldly life.
كما هو حال الحزبية والحزبيون اليوم.
Like the ways of the Hizbis today.
يستخدمون الدين ولا يخدمونه.
They use the religion and they don't serve it.
ويأخذون أموال الناس بالباطل.
And they take the people's wealth unlawfully.
بحجة نصرة الدين وهم يسعون إلى هدم الدين.
With claims to aid the religion and they're hastening to destroy it.
ويرى ويجعلك تظن أن له حقا في مالك.
And he makes they make you think that he has a right for your wealth.
وإن أعطيته ليس لك فضل عليه.
And if you give him, you have no virtue over him.
وهو المتفضل عليك أنه سألك.
And he's the one who has virtue over you since he asked you.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اليد العليا خير وأحب إلى الله من اليد السفلى.
And the upper hand, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and the upper hand is better than the lower hand.
واليد العليا هي المعطية واليد السفلى هي الآخذة.
And the upper hand is the one giving and the lower hand is the one receiving.
وكل ذلك مضاهات لفعل النصارى.
And all of this is in resemblance to the actions of the Christians.
اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا.
They took their religion as just an entertainment, joking and play.
قال ثم قال وأحدهم نعم يميز بين الدرهم والدينار والغني والفقير ويعرف الخير والشر وله فكر طويل في الحيلة التي يحتال على الجهال بها ويتواجدون عند السماع. التواجد هو من الوجد، والوجد حالة تحصل للصوفية، هذه من الكلمات الصوفية تواجد. وخطأ أن يقال فلان متواجد، أنا متواجد في المكان الفلاني، هذه من الألفاظ الصوفية، أنا موجود، أنا موجود، ما تقول أنا متواجد، لأن كلمة متواجد هذه من الألفاظ الصوفية الذي يقصد أنه وصل إلى يعني مرحلة من مراحل يعني ما يجد عند سماع ما يحب أو الآيات أو كذا، بأنه ربما يعني بكى وربما يعني حصلت له أحوال، فهذه يسمى الوجد والتواجد عند الصوفية، وهذه ألفاظ صوفية. قال نعم، قال ويتواجدون عند السماع المحدث، يعني يسقطون يبكون، تجد من الأحوال الشيطانية التي تعتريهم. قال أو غيره، فيصيحون ويزعقون ويزبدون ويتغاشى أحدهم، فبعض ذلك كذب ومكر وحيلة، وبعضه عادة فاسدة وطريقة سيئة. ما في مدح لهذا الشيء، يا إما عادة سيئة يا إما كذب ومكر وحيلة. لا يمدح الإنسان بحسن قصده، الباطل باطل، وإن فعله أذكى الناس وأفضل الناس، لو فعل الخطأ خطأ، فعل الباطل باطل، والحق حق، وإن قاله أخبث الناس. يعني الشيطان قال الحق فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدقك وهو كذوب. الحق ما يتغير بفعل فاعله، والباطل ما يتغير أيضا، الباطل باطل والحق حق.
Then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that one of them distinguishes, and one of these people here that we've been discussing, one of them distinguishes between a dirham and a dinar. He identifies between these things, the wealthy and the poor, and he knows the good from evil. They are often deeply preoccupied with devising schemes to deceive the ignorant. They express emotional displays during certain forms of innovative listening, and other than that, crying out and screaming, foaming at the mouth, and feigning unconsciousness. Some of this is outright deception, trickery, and cunning, while other aspects are rooted in corrupt habits and reprehensible practices. And he's referring here to this mutawajidun. Mutawajidun, yani the sheikh, he mentioned that tawajud, this is from the words or the terminology the Sufis they use. A tawajud and al wajd and the likes like this, this is referring to a special state that one of them will find himself in if he listens, and he listens either to Quran or to some singing and the likes like this until he reaches a high state of happiness.
مثل لما تسمع بعض المصارى إذا سمعوا الله 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 هكذا، وتجد يمكن الآية في العذاب، الآية في العذاب وهو يعني يقول اللهم اجعلنا منهم، هو ما يدري أن الآية، لكن أعجبه هذا الصوت، فما ينظر لما يقرأ وإنما ينظر إلى الأنغام الأصوات.
And they listen to the tones and the likes like this. Maybe you'll hear a verse and then he will make dua, oh Allah make us from them. But the whole verse is about the punishment of the hellfire. And they don't even know what they're saying. Or they just lose their mind in the state of nirvana or the likes like this, and so on and so forth. The point is here that this is from the terms of the Sufis, so we should not use it. So from the mistakes any of the some of the common people they make, any just speaking on a daily basis, they say ana mutawajid, and meaning saying I'm here. We shouldn't say that. You don't say mutawajid. This is from the terms of the Sufis they use. If you want to say I'm here, you say ana mawjood. The right way to say it in the Arabic language, ana mawjood, ani mawjood. You don't say mutawajid. Mutawajid is this terminology of the Sufis they use. So we don't use those terms. We don't use those terms. So this is what Sheikh al-Islam is talking about here. And meaning that these people, they're many times they're preoccupied, and this is what they do. They busy themselves devising schemes and thinking how they can deceive the people. And they outwardly express these emotional things like crying and humbleness, and maybe one of them will fall down and the likes like this when he listens or he hears, so on and so forth. And all of this many times is outright deception and trickery and cunning. And while some of it is from, some of it, even if they're sincere in that, then it's from corrupt and evil reprehensible practices. So in any case, they're not praiseworthy. In any case, they're not praiseworthy. If he's sincere, he's still not praiseworthy. So the truth, this is what is praiseworthy. The falsehood is falsehood. So even if a person, he's sincere or he has a good intention, but he did falsehood, he's still doing falsehood. So he's not praiseworthy. He's not praiseworthy. And likewise, the truth. It is, the truth, even if the worst of the people said the truth is the truth. It doesn't change because somebody said it. Falsehood is falsehood regardless whoever said it. Somebody maybe is the most knowledgeable. The most knowledgeable person, the most pious person. If he said falsehood, you say that's falsehood. So the statement, the one saying it, doesn't change it. And he's like Allah, he mentioned about the prophets, that if about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if you made shirk, then your deeds would be invalidated. So the truth is the truth, even if the worst people said it. Like the devil, for example, one time he said the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub." He told you the truth, but he's a severe, he's an extreme liar. So this is what he's discussing here.
قال وقد يقرن بأحدهم قرين من الجن فيعينه على ذلك كما أن المصروع يزبد ويصيح كما يجري لهؤلاء وشيوخهم يقرنونهم على ذلك للاحتيال على الجهال وأكل أموال الناس بهم وإلا فقد أجمع المسلمون بل واليهود والنصارى أن هؤلاء ضلال وفسقة وأن الواجب توبتهم واتباعهم لما أمر الله به وترك ما نهى عنه بل الواجب إذا رأينا مولها أو مجنونا أن نعالجه حتى يصير عاقلا فهؤلاء يعمدون إلى الصبيان يربونهم على التوله تربية انتبهوا تربية الحزبين اليوم تربية صوفية وانظروا أنهم يعمدون إلى الصبيان حتى يربونهم على هذا الأمر قال ويعودونهم الخروج عن العقل والدين كعادة كما يعود الأنبياء الصالحون أتباعهم ملازمة العقل والدين وهؤلاء يعودونهم على مجانبة العقل والدين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مروهم بالصلاة لسبع واضربوهم عليها لعشر وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع وقال العلماء يجب على كافل الصبي أن يعلمه الطهارة والصلاة ويمنعه اعتياد المحرمات.
He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that sometimes one of them is occupied by a companion from the jinn, is accompanied. Sometimes one of them is accompanied by a companion from the jinn who assists them in such actions, similar to how a possessed person foams at the mouth and cries out, as happens with these individuals. Their leaders endorse such behavior to deceive the ignorant and to exploit people's wealth through them. Otherwise, it is unanimously agreed upon by Muslims as well as Jews and Christians that these individuals are misguided and sinful. It is an obligation for them to repent, to adhere to what Allah has commanded, and to leave off what He has prohibited. In fact, when we see someone enraptured or mad, and in this manner, it is our duty to treat them until they regain sanity. However, these individuals deliberately raise children and train them to adopt such enraptured behavior. The Sheikh he mentioned here, paying attention here, that this is something that they do, that they cultivate the children upon that way, and to act in this manner. And this is very similar to what we find today in the cultivation of the different parties and sects, the different sects and parties, raising them upon Islamic, so-called Islamic songs and plays and the likes like this. All of this is from the tarbiyah of the Sufiyyah. that the Hizbis they're doing today with many of the youth. He says, habituating, he says, however, these individuals deliberately raise children and train them to adopt such enraptured behavior, habituating them to depart from reason and religion as a practice. And he telling them to not think or use their mind and the likes like this, or to go away from the deen. This contrasts with the actions of prophets and righteous individuals who nurture their followers upon in adhering to reason and religion. So the people of the Sunnah, the people of knowledge, they cultivate the children upon using their mind and their intellect and abiding by the legislation and the religion in the good and noble manners. And these people, they're contrary. These people, they're contrary. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, command your children to pray when they are 7 years old. Discipline them for it whenever they are 10, and separate them in their sleeping arrangements. The scholars have said, it is obligatory for the guardian of a child to teach them purification and prayer to prevent them from becoming accustomed to prohibited actions. So this is the example of the people of the Sunnah in cultivating children, and it's contrary to the ways of those deviant, misguided.
نقف عند هذا القدر والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبد رسول محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.